Welcome to another episode of the Principal Liner Notes Podcast. This is Sean Gaylord, and I am grateful that you are here with me for this particular episode. Well, I'm grateful that you're here for any episode. I know that there continues to be much going on, and I hope that you are safe and peaceful amidst all of the ravages that are going on with the pandemic and the hecticness of life. And anytime that you press play or download on this podcast, I am honored and grateful. And I want to assure you, I want to do my best to provide meaning and peace and whatever respite I can for you. And for this episode, I am going to share with you just a wonderful conversation that I had with a good friend, a thought partner, writing buddy, writing accountability buddy, and someone that I just have great respect and admiration for, and that is Julie Hassan. She is the author of a brand new book that came out in November of 2021, and it's entitled Safe, Seen, and Stretched in the Classroom, The Remarkable Ways Teachers Shape Students' Lives, and it was published by Routledge. It is an Eye on Education book, and it is a book that I was very fortunate to receive a preview copy of and write a proud endorsement for, and I also have got my own version of the book, which is highlighted and underlined and filled with sticky notes. And it's a testament to the warm and inviting vision that Julie provides in the book on teacher impact. And I am grateful for Julie stopping by the podcast, and you'll kind of get a sense of our friendship and the things that we are excited about when it comes to the noble profession of teaching. When she is not writing books, she is also a professor at the Wright College of Education at Appalachian State University, and I am the proud parent of two daughters associated with App State. And Julie's an amazing professor. She's a speaker and presenter. She's given an incredible TEDx talk, which I recommend. And you can follow all of her pursuits and all of her projects on her website, chalkandchances.com. And the Chalk and Chances project is culminated in this brand new book of hers, this special book that I did not want to end. She is also the author of another book, co-written with Missy Leonard, and that book's entitled Unmapped Potential, An Educator's Guide to Lasting Change. And Julie is a neighbor, a recent neighbor here in North Carolina, and she's up in Boone, North Carolina. And we were both, when we had our pre-conversation, we were both kind of sharing our stories about the recent snowfall that has hit our state. So without further ado, in the next segment, stay tuned for my conversation with my inspiring friend, Julie Hassan. Thanks again for stopping by the podcast. Hello, Julie, and welcome to the Principal Liner Notes Podcast, my friend.
Hey, Sean, how are you, my friend? This is my favorite podcast, so I'm so excited to join you.
Oh, I am so honored and grateful, and I am going to try not to fanboy too much like Chris Farley did on Saturday Night Live with Paul McCartney.
It will be mutual fanning, for
oh,
sure.
Oh, you got it. Oh, my goodness. This is just such a treat to kind of be in this platform with you. And I am looking forward to our conversation and however we can connect to your just amazingly new book, Safe, Seen, and Stretched in the Classroom. And there will probably, as you know, probably some sort of musical reference along the way. And this is such a treat and an honor to have you here.
Oh, thank you. I would be disappointed if there were no musical references.
Oh, well, we'll go there. What I want to do is just have you talk a little bit about your new book, Safe, Seen, and Stretched in the Classroom, which came out November of last year. And I know a little bit about the journey in which the book was formed. And I know that we'll be taking some deep dives and going through some rabbit holes and catching each other on the flip side here. But if you could maybe tell us a little bit about the origin story of Safe, Seen, and Stretched.
It's probably important to start by saying I never set out to write a book. When I began this journey, it wasn't my intention to write a book. I had just accepted a position as a professor and I needed to do research. And at the same time, some of my favorite teachers were retiring, like teachers who made a really big lasting impact on my life. And what I wanted to find out is what is it they said and did that made this impact on me? And I thought if I could understand it, maybe I could replicate it and be a better teacher myself. And maybe I could find something that would help other teachers make a bigger impact, be more like, you know, my Mrs. Russell or my Mr. Resniti. And when I started this research project, I started by talking to teachers and asking, what impact do you make on students' lives? How do you do that? And it quickly became apparent that we don't know. Unless a student comes back to us, writes us a letter, tells us the impact we made, we know the impact we hope we made, but we don't really have any way of knowing. So I went to the research office on my campus and met with the IRB chair. And he said, you know, you're going to have to talk to former students because they know the impact teachers made on their lives. And we talked about how did you do that? How do we set up this study? And it over time became clear that you just need to go where there are a lot of people because everybody's a former student. So I went to craft fairs, farmers markets, flea markets, university campuses, like anywhere I could go and not be arrested with a sign that says, let's chat about a teacher you remember. And I did not anticipate the number of people who would stop and just tell me a beautiful story from years ago, decades ago, about something a teacher said or did that impacted their lives. And there came a point where I had all these stories and my friend Laura, who's a brilliant English teacher, I would share them with her and they meant something to her. They gave a bit of affirmation of her work and her worth. And she said, I think you really should share these on a blog. No idea how to do a blog, but set that up. Named the blog Chalk and Chances because that's what my teachers used to change my life. Lots of chalk, lots of chances. It was the 70s. And then over time, more and more stories came. And as a researcher, I would start to analyze, like, what is it in these stories that's common? And over again, students talked about feeling safe in the classroom and how important that was. And then about feeling seen. So how did those teachers help them feel seen and worthy and valued and important and special and all of those things? But there was also this notion of being stretched. So they remembered these moments of transformation when their perspective changed or thinking changed or they discovered a strength or they made a connection. And over again, and now we're over 400 stories, those three things continue to come up. And over time, there was so much information I wanted to share that it just made sense to put it in a book. Mm-hmm. And you have been, just so listeners know that we are friends, you are a very important friend to me. You have been along on this journey.
Yes.
All the way through, I think since before the blog started, you had heard about this idea. So I'm grateful for your support and your guidance and your feedback all the way along.
Oh, I cherish that as I cherish our friendship and connection. And I remember when we talked about this initially, I don't know what going on, maybe 5 years ago or 4 or 5 years ago.
Right.
I remember saying, I want this book in my hands, and it is a dream come true. But more importantly, our friendship and the learning and thought partnership that I have with you is truly a dream come true. So thank you for those kind words, my friend.
Oh, I'm going to say, I have said this to you before, but I'm going to say this so listeners can hear it. I heard Neil Gaiman, who's a great author, talk about doing creative work. And he said, when you create something and you put it out in the world, it's like throwing a bottle out into the ocean and you hope someone will find it and resonate with it and throw a bottle back. But oftentimes they don't. You know, you throw something out in the world, teachings like that. You know, it's a creative work. You put all this work into it and you don't always see a response because kids grow up and they leave and they take that impact with them, but they don't always reach back out. You are the kind of creative that throws bottles back to other creatives. And I just want you to know how special and important that is.
Oh, thank you. I got to track that down, and I'm honored by that. And I'm as you say that, I'm Sting's or the Police's message in a bottle is going through my head. Music reference there, but one of the and maybe to give folks a sample if they've not read the book, and we won't give, you know, there's really no spoiler alerts here because you're very upfront in the beginning of the book, and I quote, the seemingly ordinary actions and interactions that occur in classrooms have extraordinary implications. And that's in your introduction to the book. And one of the stories I would love for you to maybe talk a little bit about is the one that I, musically speaking, like, oh my God, she's getting a let out here. We're talking Zeppelin. So, and the teacher in the story you collected very much echoes the way that I taught and bringing the Beatles and other crazy and zany things in the classroom. But maybe just to give folks a sense of the kind of story that you gathered and the impact that ensued would be great.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, Allie and Mr. McVie.
Yes.
And the thing that's really fun about collecting these stories is people are telling you about something that happened maybe years ago, maybe decades ago. And in the time between the event happening and their retelling of the story, it becomes more meaningful. And they start to realize what that event did for them and how it influenced their lives. And this was no exception. So this was at University of South Florida at their Bowles Market. I was on campus and talking to young people, so 18 to 22, about teachers who had influenced them. And a young woman, Allie, came to tell me about Mr. McVie, who had been her astronomy teacher. She wasn't super interested in that, but she needed a science credit. You know, as all impact sometimes is, it's sort of serendipitous in that way that she ended up with Mr. McVie, and he would play the Rolling Stones and Led Zeppelin, all kinds of classic rock at the beginning of astronomy class. And she has this one event in mind when he invited them all out into a field to look at some asteroids, I think, in a telescope. But of course, he also brought his big portable speakers and he played this music while they were out there looking at the stars. And she said when she went to college and she was away, far away from home and away from friends and everything that kind of made her feel grounded, she would take her little telescope and go out and look at the stars and play Led Zeppelin and remember home.
Wow.
And she said it made her feel not only grounded again, but it also helped her understand, gave her some perspective, how big the world really is and her place in it. And just all these beautiful lessons from Mr. McVie and the way he presented these concepts and the meaning behind the things he taught. So I love that story too. That's one of my favorites. I mean, they're all my favorite. You know, usually the most recent one, my husband will say, is my favorite. But that's an especially sweet one, especially for people like you and me who grew up loving classic rock.
Yeah, I the other thing when I read this book, and I've read it twice. I read the preview copy, as you know, and I'm honored that I was able to provide an endorsement. And then I like to think that I was one of the first to order a copy of the book. I pre-ordered this
You
book
were.
as soon as this
You
thing landed,
absolutely were.
and I was so excited when it landed in my mailbox. But the thing that I love about the book is the fact that so many folks entrusted you with their story, and we don't, and I know that we can measure teacher impact, and there's all kinds of meta-analysis studies and so on and so forth, but the notion that you had courage to kind of go into a farmer's market with a sign, and all these other places with a sign, and just a very simple question: tell me about a teacher that had an impact on you. Takes courage. And then the courage for someone to share this kind of important, formative, very personal part of their life. It's very similar, and I know you and I are around the same age. It's very similar to when, back in those days when we would make mixtapes for each other, or lend
Yes.
somebody a copy of an album. Cameron Crowe, the director, who directed Almost Famous, one of my favorite films. He is known for giving copies of albums to actors, to reach a certain feeling during a scene. Very famously, the album Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
So how let's explore that a little bit. Just this notion of sharing stories and curiosity and courage, and maybe just your thoughts on forming the template for that. Because again, I farmers market, I know you didn't only go to farmers markets, but you went to craft fairs, and those are very public, hectic in some cases, action-packed scenes, and for someone to kind of share a very moving story. And there are a few places in this book which are very moving and elicited tears from me. So let's explore that a little bit.
There's a certain bit of magic there that I can't fully explain. And I am a really introverted, so on that continuum, like
Yeah.
far over on the introverted scale, and also have a bit of social anxiety.
Me too.
So for me especially, it was a terrifying idea. But I was more curious than afraid. So I don't know that it was courage as much as curiosity, or maybe the curiosity provided the courage to do it, because I've really wondered about it. And I, as you know, am the daughter and granddaughter and mother of teachers, and my whole life has been about teaching. It's my passion, it's my interest, it's my research focus. I teach teachers, my grad students are all teachers, and I think I just really wanted to know. And part of it was maybe my age and the fact that my teachers were retiring, and it was this wonder about what does it all really mean to have spent a life teaching, and does it really matter, and why? So, setting it up, and there were moments when people were not friendly and assumed I was, I don't know, taking a survey or registering voters or selling something, and did not respond. And there were moments when people who had clearly been very harmed by an interaction with a teacher responded in those ways. And so you take on those feelings too. It was an emotional project to do. But I think just holding space for someone to tell a story is something we don't do often enough. And in the middle of receiving a story, even in a busy farmer's market, it would feel like everything else faded away except for me and the person telling. And I also think people carry such strong emotions of, I don't even know exactly what the combination is, but it seems like gratitude and joy, and just this feeling of the gift that a teacher gives when they give discretionary effort to you when you're a struggling kid. They wanted to tell the stories, and I gave them a space to do that. And I think there was a gift in it for both of us, engaged in that story collecting process. It felt strangely intimate, even though most of their stories came from strangers. Like they don't feel like strangers now, you know, after spending those few minutes, but they were people I had never met before.
Wow. That's so powerful. And, you know, speaking of Cameron Crowe, and we probably need to send him a copy of this book. He is the son of a teacher, and
that's
maybe
true.
Maybe we can option this. You know, I've already cast this movie. you know, I've already, we need to send this to Meryl Streep, you know, to play you, Jeff Bridges to play Brian, your husband. You know, perhaps
who does look a lot like Jeff Bridges, but we have both agreed that maybe not quite that laid back. And if you read the book, you will see that he is maybe a little more intense than Jeff Bridges.
Well, you know,
but they do look alike.
They do. They have.
They like a good white Russian.
Yes, I do. And the dude abides. You know.
Yes.
What is it? And again, the timing of this book, I know, was not purposeful, because you didn't decide to release it, you know, during a pandemic. You didn't decide to have this book land at a time where educators are very much in a gauntlet that is beyond description and category. But the timing is powerful, and this book is needed. For teachers.
And it was such strange timing, because I had planned all along to finish collecting data in March 2020.
Wow.
And I did. I collected the last story the first week in March 2020. And then everything shut down.
Yeah.
So I wrote, which was not, I mean, I couldn't have known. And yet that was the plan. And so I wrote during the pandemic, which was a difficult time to write because focus was sometimes hard with all of the stress and changes, but it was a quiet, uninterrupted time to write in many ways. So the timing was interesting, and I had no idea when I was writing how long we would be dealing with some of these challenges.
Definitely. And you know, you talk about this book, and I love the term. This book is a love letter, and you write that it's a love letter for a profession that captivates you. So for the teacher that is reading this book, or wants to read this book, and be on the receiving end of this love letter, so to speak, what is it what is your desire for the teacher to take away from this love letter of a book?
I think starting out, it was affirmation. Mm-hmm. Affirmation that teaching matters, that teachers matter, that even though you may not hear from former students, maybe these stories will still give you evidence of your impact, because you know there are students who would tell stories like this about you.
Right.
That was, I think, the initial hope, and still probably the biggest hope, is that it will be affirming to the teachers who read it. And that maybe it will help them stay longer, you know, because it's hard right now and we're losing them right now. And
yeah,
I hope it makes everybody understand what that loss means for us as a country, that we're losing the Mrs. Russells like rapidly. So there's that bit of it. I also hoped it might, as I unpack the story and pull out some strategies, give them some things they can use, you know, some tools for their toolbox, some things to think about, and then help them understand the broader body of literature, because we have so many brilliant educational researchers and their work doesn't always reach the teachers because we live as researchers in this ivory tower and we don't always do a good job of making our work accessible. So I hoped I would give them some strategies that came out of my data, but also say, here's what other researchers are saying about building trust, responding to bids for a connection, helping students stretch and building their efficacy, looking at what is equity and cultural responsiveness in the classroom.
Right on. And part of that love too, that is evident in the book to me is you, again, the book does, it's a narrative. We're on this journey with you. I mean, I feel like I'm helping Brian load the car up with the table and the signs and then, you know, walking around campus and you going and talking to the sign guy but then you also, there's this kind of other move in the book, and it's part of your dedication, which again, and there's just as a dad and a son, and you talk about this book is dedicated to the teacher who raised me and the teacher I raised. And I just want you to riff on that, my friend.
Oh gosh, you will make me get emotional. The teacher who raised me had a birthday yesterday. So we've been celebrating her, and I get a chance to see her because they're still in Florida next week. And I think growing up as a kid, and anyone who's a child of a teacher probably can relate to this, I didn't fully appreciate her work because she was a teacher and I saw teachers every day all the time. Mm-hmm. And she taught in middle school and in high school at the schools I attended. So she was never far away. And I don't think it was till I was older, maybe a senior in high school, and after I got out, and would still see friends from childhood who would tell me how much she meant to them. And then I would start to hear stories about things she had done for kids, how she had advocated for them, or, you know, provided things for them, or encouraged them, or whatever, listened. I mean, she's the world's best listener. She will hold space for you, and it's a gift. So I think for me, I didn't fully appreciated her as my mom, but I don't think I fully appreciated what an amazing teacher she was until I got out and people started to tell me. Mm-hmm. And then I would run into people when I became a teacher who were also teachers who said, I became a teacher because of your mom. What a beautiful tribute.
Yeah.
I mean, for any of us as educators.
Yeah.
And my daughter, Kaylin, is very much like her grandmother. You know, they share a middle name. they're very much alike. They're like the perfect combination of soft and strong. So they're the most empathetic, loving people, but they're tough. And they will stand up. And Kay was always a kid who would stand up for another kid, or do a brave thing. So the fact that she's teaching now, she always wanted to teach. It was her dream. You know, she taught at Bible school or the little high school, preschool. Mm-hmm. She's in her third year teaching third grade. So she started, her first year was the year the pandemic started. Wow. She doesn't know any different than that. But she's been so strong and so good and so resilient and really done some great things in an urban school with a lot of challenges. So that those two women for me are everything. And also my friend Laura, who you meet in the book.
Yes.
Who taught my kids and who is sort of my teacher talk kind of thought partner. I've been so lucky to have been surrounded my whole life by teachers. Because there's something about people who make great teachers. They're just really great humans.
Mm. That sounds like a sentence for your next book right there. that is so true. I find that the best teachers that have shaped my life or the teachers that I've been fortunate to support in my role, they're just good humans. They're good people, and they see something in you that you don't necessarily see in yourself, and it's just, there's just, and they help bring that out in you, you know, and that's so powerful and meaningful.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And for the non-educator, you know, there's a lot here in this book. I mean, you don't necessarily have to, I mean, we've all been a student in some way, shape, or form. And I know that this book is specifically targeted for educators of any level. But what is it that you would hope that somebody who is, and again, maybe not looking at this from the frame of a former student frame, because, and again, non-educators can read this book and think about their own teacher and the impact and all of that, but somebody who might be in the business world or in an organization, I mean, part of that gig as leader or whatever role you have is to help either your clients or your coworkers feeling safe, seen, mm-hmm. and stretched. So any words of wisdom for those folks?
That's funny you say that, because I've been getting some invitations. I speak about the work and do professional development, and I was contracted by the tax collector of a county.
Oh, wow.
To work with the leadership group in the tax collector's office to help the people they led feel safe, seen, and stretched. I thought tax collectors is about as far away as I could imagine from teachers. They were the best crowd, and they were really interested in how to build trust in their organization and how to help people reach their potential. So I know for me, it's made me not just a better teacher having done this work, it's made me a better parent and friend and spouse and colleague. So I hope that notion of safe, seen, and stretched, I hope those are concepts that people can apply more broadly than the classroom. And I think we would all be wise to model some of our interactions with our best teachers, you know, after our best teachers. Mm-hmm. What I used to say all the time, what would Mrs. Russell do?
Yes.
What would she do in this challenging situation when I want to strangle this person in front of me? What would Mrs. Russell say or do? And that's never steered me wrong. So we would all be wise, I think, to use some of those teachers as models for how to interact with people in the world.
Absolutely. I have often echoed my own, you know, my Mrs. McMonagle, my fifth grade teacher. What would Mrs. Mack do? How would she feel about this decision that I'm doing or this action that I'm doing? And would she be proud?
Oh,
that's one that I always, I make reference of. Would she be proud of me right now?
Ooh, and that's so good, Sean.
Thank you. Yeah.
That's a high bar.
It is. I owe a lot to her. Boy. In terms of, you know, just real quickly, I mean, I know we talk Zeppelin and classic rock, but what do you put on your turntable? What, you know, if we're in a record store and walking around, you know, my favorite record store, Underdog Records, you know, what are you going to, you know, what are you going to go for? What are you going to put on? What are you going to grab?
Ooh, and you know me, I like all kinds of music.
I know you do.
I am not musical. I'm not gifted in that way, but I definitely appreciate it and love it. For me, it is always those 70s singer-songwriters, you know, Joni Mitchell and Carole King and James Taylor. And I love the Eagles. You know, they're the tail end kind of that era.
Nice.
So much. So usually if it's me, it's, and my kids would say growing up, if they rode in mom's car, they were going to get, you know, James Taylor, or they were going to get the Tapestry.
Yes.
CD from Carole King. And if they rode in dad's car, they were going to get the Rolling Stones, Led Zeppelin. For a while, they got the Beastie Boys. We had to censor for them. And my kids grew up loving all kinds of music. They love Biz Markie. They love all of it, which is what we wanted for them, to have all of these different musical genres that they could go to lift them up, to comfort them. And I think I had that as well. But I have memories from Mrs. Russell's first grade class of Carole King's Really Rosie when she sang the Maurice Sendak books.
Yes.
And when I became a teacher, I would play Chicken Soup with Rice and you know, all Alligators All Around. So for me, that brings back memories, sweet memories of that classroom. And I want teachers to know, when you play music or you expose kids to art or you read books, those are things that stick.
Yes. And can change a life and change a world and make one child's impossible become possible. And
yeah.
And I mean, I'm grateful for Mrs. McMonagle introducing me to the Beatles and fueling that kind of passion I have. But yes, it's such a visceral memory when teachers have done that for me in the past, and it does stay with you. And it, like I said, it can change a life.
Yeah, definitely.
It's so powerful. Julie, I just am so grateful for you being on this podcast, and you are a gift. And in reading this book, I, as I shared with you earlier in our pre-conversation, I felt safe, seen, and stretched in as a reader. And your voice just hits on so many powerful levels. And so I'm grateful for the gift of this book that you are giving for our noble profession.
Oh, thank you for that. Thank you for reading. You know, people are so busy and so stressed right now that I know an investment of time is difficult. And I appreciate you reading it and talking about it and all of your kind, supportive words about it. You will never know how much that means to me.
Oh, well, the feeling is mutual, my friend. So what's next? I know what's next, but
Oh,
I want you to
you
share.
know. Oh, that's so funny. I've been wrestling with the next part for me, and the next part is a little sort of zooming in. So, in a challenging situation or an unexpected event in the classroom, something comes up, right? That's a stimulus for a teacher. How do our most impactful teachers respond? What do they do? And you and I know because we've talked about it. First, they pause and
Yep.
they don't let the first thing that comes in their mind come out of their mouth, usually. I mean, we're human, right?
Yeah.
And then there are a few other things they do, and I'm really interested. I've dug back through the data, I've collected more data, I've talked to a lot of teachers. What sort of stance do they take? And it has something to do with just being curious about kids, about their teaching, about themselves. So, how does kind of taking that stance, pausing and asking some questions impact the student-teacher relationship? And I'm exploring that right now. I'm having a really good time. I'm always happier if I'm writing. So that's what I'm working on. And I'm excited to continue to explore that and see what comes out of it. And maybe there's another book that could be born of that exploration.
Well, I don't think there's any maybe about that exploration of a next book, and I know it's going to happen, and I look forward to it. I know there's a little bit of a nod to that in Safe, Seen, and Stretched when in the Lessons on Equity chapter, and you talk about the lens of curiosity. And so I am already grateful for you following up with that, and I look forward to another masterpiece, another album, another tapestry, if you will,
Oh.
from you. So I can't wait. I can't wait.
Well, thank you. Thank you for being a thought partner through it all. I don't know if people realize how much I throw things out to you just to see, and we just riff about these things that we're thinking about, and it is always so clarifying for me and so helpful. And so I hope everyone listening can find a friend like Sean who will just riff with you about what you're thinking and the art you're making.
Oh, you are amazing. I'm so grateful. The name of the book, my friends, is Safe, Seen, and Stretched in the Classroom: The Remarkable Ways Teachers Shape Students' Lives by Julie Hassan. And you can find that on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, your friendly neighborhood local bookstore. And that's right, you're going back home, right?
Going back home, depressed books in Lakeland. And Christina, the owner, is a former teacher and lovely. And I can't wait to see some old friends and maybe see some of the people from that farmers market who shared their stories. So that will be fun.
Well, I hope that I know that day is going to be a family reunion, and I hope you're able to connect with family and friends, and I hope you and Brian have a safe trip down. And then also for those that want to follow you and sign up for your weekly newsletter, what's the best way that folks can get in on that?
Two ways to find me. I'm at Julie S. Hassan on Twitter and on Instagram. I'm a little more active on Twitter. I'm working on the Insta game. I'm getting there. Talking Chances is the website. That's where you can find the stories if you need a little boost, but you can also find resources on there, sign up for a story to be delivered to your email box once a week, all the things. And you can reach out to me, contact me through that website as well.
Wonderful, Julie. Thank you so much. And thank you for stopping by the Principal Liner Notes podcast. It is truly an honor. You are a gift. And thank you for being the Carol King and weaving a tapestry for so many folks.
Not worthy. I'm not worthy.
Yes, you are. I mean, your book is tapestry. Your book is the tapestry of education books in so many ways.
What a beautiful thing to say. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye, Sean.
That's it for this special episode of the Principal Liner Notes podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining in on that very special conversation I had with Julie. I hope that you are able to pick up a copy of her book, Safe, Seen, and Stretched. It is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, or you can find it hopefully at your friendly neighborhood local bookstore. Thanks again to Julie for stopping by. She truly is a bandmate and a friend and a sincere thought partner, and I am very grateful for our friendship, just as I am grateful for the friendship that we have here in this podcast. I hope that you are safe and seen and stretched wherever you are, and know that the world is better because of your vision and your dreams and your passions. Don't forget to share those, and thank you so much for adding so much goodness to whatever schoolhouse or department or organization that is lucky to have you in their respective band. Stay tuned for another upcoming episode. Also, I am working on a new podcast project. I had mentioned this last year, and it got a little sidetracked, but this will be a podcast that will be related only to music, and it's entitled An Album That Changed My Life, and an opportunity to speak with friends and colleagues and musicians about albums that have shaped their life or had a positive impact on their life. So stay tuned for that upcoming podcast. In the meantime, stay safe, much peace to you, and I always look forward to catching you on the flip side.